Now, when you started dating him, Hobie, did you have problems with other people in your crew at all? Because here you're dating the lead man. What are they? What kinds of things do they think about it?
I don't know what the rest thought, but the girls that were there working with me, they thought it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
They liked him, you know.
Because very often, it seems, I know during the war years, very often the women would start dating their lead men, and then everyone else would say, oh, well, now she's going to get an advancement, or he's going to treat her differently, or that sort of thing.
Mm-mm. No, I didn't have no problems like that.
So you continued working on in the same area, doing the same stuff, riveting.
Yeah.
But he started moving.
Yeah, after a while, you know, he started moving up and getting work invitations of the supervisors and stuff like that. Till finally, he, as years went on, he ended up in a position as supervisor.
Mm.
But he always thought, you know, I guess he always thought that I wasn't good enough for him. He was superior to me.
Mm.
Which I never dreamt that, you know, that he was like that until afterwards. I guess I was so crazy about him that I overlooked all that stuff at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Till I didn't realize it till later. So then when this happened, that he wanted out and all that, it tore me up very bad, because I was so crazy about him, and then having him do this to me, I thought I was going to die. I lost weight. I went to 118 pounds, and I lost weight. I wouldn't eat and anything like that, you know. And then I started drinking. And finally I said, no, this cannot go. So I snapped out of it.
Hmm. Did you, during this time, when you were feeling all this and having all the trouble, was there anyone that you could turn to and talk to?
No. I never talked to nobody. I had my sister, but my sister knew how I was, you know, that. But I told my sister, just let it go, because she was crazy about Frank, too. She liked him very well.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, just let it go. I said, whatever. But I finally I snapped out of it, and I said, no, this is not going to go. So I stopped.
What helped you snap out of it, you think?
Well, I don't know. Just that I figured that it wasn't right. And then I had another lead man, Clifton. He was another lead man. So he was real nice to me. And I used to, with him, I used to tell him, you know, my problems and all that. So finally, he had never been married either. So he told me that he'd like to marry me. So I said, oh, okay. So Frank was coming around. He wanted me to go back to him at the same time, you know. So I said, no, this cannot be. And I knew that I would probably eventually weaken and go back to him. And I didn't want that.
Mm.
So I think that I married on the rebound, and that's one bad thing that I did, because I married John, and he was a nice guy. I cannot say anything bad about John, because he was really, really nice,
mm-hmm.
but he couldn't make it.
Would you spend time with each other doing the sorts of things you had done with Frank?
You mean
traveling and camping and all of those kinds of things?
Oh, with them. Oh, yeah.
With them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did the same thing. He was very thoughtful and very kind of me and all that, you know. But his family didn't quite agree. His sisters didn't quite. I think that they're a little bit prejudiced. I don't think that they liked Mexican people. But, of course, he was so good, you know, that he couldn't. So finally, we split up.
Now, but what was the relationship like till you split up? Were you happy in the relationship, do you think?
When we split up?
Up until the time you split up. Did you have problems? Did you fight, or were you?
No. We had. Sometimes I used to get disgusted with his family, you know, with his sisters, because he had sisters that he had 7 or 8 years that he had never seen. And they were there in Los Angeles. And the reason why, because I was married to him. They made it obvious.
And how about your family? Did he accept your family?
My family liked him.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them liked him.
Had anyone else in your family married Anglos?
Yeah, my daughter.
But I mean, we had just the one sister.
Yeah,
but
no. Mm-mm. On my other side of my family, no, nobody.
Now, and did you make friends of your own with women at work at all? After who knew that?
Yeah, it's at work, you know, at work, but I didn't have any to go out with or anything like that. No,
so just at work.
Just at work, yeah.
So there's no one that you would spend time with or do something with? Or
no.
Now, what was happening at work in terms of, you said that you kept moving up. Can you trace for me what was happening at work?
What after the...
because you first started as a riveter and Frank was your lead. And then how did you...
Well, they're in that department. They started putting me towards final, you know, where you get to inspection and all that. So then I started getting away from the riveting, which I was glad. Because I wanted to get away from that. So then they changed us from the cotton shed. We went to the other building. And there, I was doing mostly final. We were getting the panels ready for inspection and pickup and stuff like that. And afterwards, there was a change, and I started working on small parts. They changed me to another department. We were working on small parts. And afterwards, they said that when they started building the 104, they said they wanted me to try the 104 because when I was working, I was I went to school, to blueprint school, and I took blueprint.
Oh, when was that?
When I was working, when I started working at Lockheed.
In the very beginning?
No, in this last part.
In the 60s?
In the 50s. I started going to school on my own. I went to the, what's the name of that gym? I had the name on the tip of my tongue right now. Yeah, that school that's up in L.A. someplace. I can't think of it right now. Anyway, I took blueprint, and they had it in my record. So then the man at the office there told me, he says, I see here that you have a blueprint, that you took blueprint, advanced and beginners. He says, and I want to put you in the 104 line to work. I said, well... I don't know. I said, he says, I want you to try it. I said, I took blueprint, yeah. I said, but I've been here working. I said, but I never work with a blueprint because there's no blueprints around here. He says, it's true, but I want you to try it.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay. So then I went into the line, and they had the airplane already up there, already built. And so we would put parts on it. So I said, yeah, okay. I went and I started. I used to spread my blueprints, put parts here, little brackets and stuff, and I used to spread out my blueprint and I tell the inspector, look, here's that part there and this is that there and this is that there. And that's how I started working with my blueprints because I had never worked with one. We went to blueprint school, but they didn't show you no blueprints. They showed you blocks and stuff like that.
What year was that you started working on the 104 with the blueprints?
I think it was in the 60s or something like that. When they started building the 104.
Mm-hmm.
Then I worked in the 104 for a long time. And then at the 104 went out completely. They stopped building the 104. And then they put me in the paint shop. And I said, well, why do you put me in the paint shop? I said, send me someplace. He said, no. He says, because we're going to be building a few 104s. And we're going to have you right there where we can get a hold of you. Because all the people, they sent them out. And this big building was deserted. There was nothing. And so,
and
me.
What were you supposed to do in the paint shop?
Identify parts and stuff like that. You see, they changed me my classification. They cheated. You know, the words, you know. They changed it. The union didn't know anything about it.
So what did they change you to?
Some classification there of a paint shop. I did not even know that they had changed my classification or nothing. But they wanted me there. They said, we want you because we wanna, when they start building them, I'm going to get you again. So then at the 104 line, I got at the last part of it, I was putting trim panels. inside the cockpit. They had the fighter and the trainer. And I would put paneling, little fiberglass, and cut them and fit them in there. And that's what I was doing. So then whenever they had another plane that was, they were going to build, they bring me from the paint shop to put on panels and get it going.
But in the paint shop itself, you weren't painting though?
No, no, no. I was just identifying parts and selling them. They'd bring up trays full of little parts, big parts, different parts.
Oh, you know, all mixed up?
No, because there was orders of so many of these parts and so many of those and so many of those, you know. So they'd bring trays full of them, and I identify them and then package, sell them and package them and out they went.
When you say sell them?
To the inspector. The inspector would come and check them, see if they were good, and then they put their stamp, and that is that they're sold. And in the books, they would mark it sold on the their stamp.
And how did you feel about that work compared to the other work that you've been doing?
Oh, I liked all them jobs. Mm-hmm. All them jobs. I enjoyed all my. I was always happy in my job. I liked my job.
Did you ever have problems with getting pay raises or reclassifications that you felt you should get? Did you ever go to the union for anything?
Mm-mm. Then afterwards, they opened Department 1924, and then they took me off of the paint shop and brought me to the Department 24. And then they made me, I was there for maybe a year till it got going. Then they made me a lead person. And I was a lead person for about 8 or 9 years.
Until you retired?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was Department 24?
It was small parts. Mm-hmm. Small parts for the L-1011. They built a lot of little small parts going to the airplane.
Now, were you actually fabricating the small parts in that department?
Mm-hmm.
And so what sort of process would you be involved in?
Well, what I was involved in, I was telling the people how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd get the orders, and at the same time, I was filling up the orders. We'd get the order, and I would put them in a basket, and I'd get the order, and I'd check the blueprint, see what it was needed. When this department started, they took me to put the, all the parts that we're going to need, all the rivets, all the screws, washers, and nuts, that is called MSP. So I was told to set up my area, and I got blueprints of all the jobs that we were going to be coming in. And I opened my blueprint, and I checked on the list of the MSP, what was going to be needed. And I filled cards and ordered all my stuff. I had pants on the walls, just full of all the screws that were going to be taken, or washers, or whatever was going to be taken for that job. So what I used to do, I used to fill these orders. And this order needs so many screws, so many rivets, so many of this. And I would put it into the job, and when the guy got it, and blueprint. When the guy got it, all he had to do is just open his blueprint and start working. That's where it was.
And these were various small parts then?
Yeah, different things. You know, some parts were bigger, some parts were small, and different things.
And was it basically assembly, or was it fabrication too?
No, it was already fabricated. Mm-hmm. Already fabricated.
But so you would set up the whole process for
right.
the department.
Right, right.
Now, so you would have started there in what, in about 67 or so?
Late 60s? Early 70s, around in there when they started.
And
doing.
How many people were in the department under you?
I had about maybe 45, 50 people.
And what was the proportion of men and women among them?
About half and half.
Was there any, what kind of attitudes were there towards having a lead woman? By that time, were there?
No, the men were fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the men were fine. The women didn't think about it.
Was it unusual?
No.
At that point, or were there a fair number of men?
No, there was a lot of
women. But it seems like you advanced fairly far then.
Yeah, and in this job that I tell you, this last job that I had, I was very conscious of my job, and I was very, I always did my work, and I always tried to get my work out, you know, because I could not see orders laying around. They would have these flag orders. There was a flag, and that flag meant that there was an airplane on the ground waiting for parts. Well, that's the first main operation that I would take. I would take that, and I try to find my parts, even if I had to go steal them to get them. I'd have to go steal them down from downstairs, pot control. And I used to go and beg and everything, and I used to tell, I used to have people from MSP, from A1, that I knew. I do favors for them, and they do favors for me. If I needed a certain length of a screw that I didn't have or anything like that, I call them up and I say, hey, I'm in trouble. I need so many of this, so many of that. Look them up in the plants and see if you can find them for me. And they would get them for me. And I do likewise, you know, they call me up and say, hey, you got something there that we want, well, you got this or that, let me check. And if they have, I would package it up and tell them, send somebody for them, you know. Mm-hmm. I would help them because mm-hmm. they would help me.
Now, when did you retire, Pete?
3 years ago.
So
77. And that I can tell you.
Now, I was just wondering,
only the doctor, my friend, said, I have to tell him to give you another one. I said, oh, heck with
it. It does not look like you either.
You look like a black woman there.
Oh, this has the date you started again,
mm-hmm.
too.
Yeah.
1978. So it was just about 1970 that you became the lead woman. I'm wondering, what were your relationships like with the other lead people and elsewhere? Were they all... Were most of your, like when you would call around to get some of these parts, was it mainly men that you would be dealing with or women?
Men.
Well, do you feel that there was ever any...
I got along much better with men mm-hmm. than I did with women.
What was seen to be the problem with women?
Well, women sometimes are very catty, very, you know. And I was the type of person that I would never... Like when I was working as a riveter, one time I had a person. Well, I took pride in my work, and I wanted to get it out. I would get in there and work hard, you know, to get out my work. And this woman would stand by with a cigarette hanging on the left, and she'd be resting there. And I'd be waiting for her to duck my roots. She said, are you in a hurry? Are you in a hurry? I'd tell her, no, I'm not in a hurry. But it used to grab the heck out of me, you know. And because I wasn't like that. I'd go work with a man, and if it was 3:30, and we had one rivet to put in. I said, go ahead, don't worry about me. I'm not in no rush to get out of here. Mm-hmm. Let's get this out. See, that's the way I was. And that's the way I was with all my jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I was very self-conscious. I always try to get my jobs. I used to go sometime on Saturdays. This last year, the lead and my farmer would give me a list of orders, all orders that were lost or didn't know what they were. And he had to make a report on that. So he would tell me, get me this for Saturday, so that I'll know, I'll have some answers.
Mm-hmm.
And he could depend on me. I'd find those orders, whether they were lost or what, but I'd have an answer on his list every time.
Mm-hmm.
See, so I used to really take pride on my mm-hmm. on my job, which sometimes they don't pay because they don't appreciate what you do.
Okay.
Then they don't appreciate. They think that you do things like that because you're dumb. But that's just the way I was. Now, I hear that area where I was, orders are all over scattered and everything. Nobody gives a darn for anything. I used to pull the Mercuries. They were big Mercuries that they had like platforms with wheels
mm-hmm.
and a handle. And I used to fill those platforms with orders, and I'd push them. Now, I went up there one Christmas. About 3 or 4 women were pushing one.
So you were physically a hard worker too.
You know, I tried to. Well, I'm trying to do my job. I never went around, hey, help me. Hey, this. I try to get. But
when you were lead, did you feel that by the time you retired, you might go further? Or was that it? Did you think?
With lead?
Yeah.
No.
You figured that would
no, because I would never, if they would ever have offered me supervision, I would never would have taken it.
Why is that?
Because I never liked the way they treat supervisors. Foremen treat supervisors like dirt.
Mm-hmm.
They expect so much of them, and I never would have taken it.
Mm-hmm.
I never would have taken it, the treatment that they give them.
Mm-hmm.
You see, a supervisor has to jump. When the foreman tells him, you jump, you have to jump. And I don't think that I would have jumped for any of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I never would have accepted it.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Now, as you moved, by the time you got to be lead, What kind of pay changes and classification changes did you
make? Oh, I was making, when I retired, I was making about $8 or so an hour. So.
Mm-hmm. And what, do you recall what you made when you first started as lead?
No, I don't. Maybe about $6 or something like that, five something. Because the union gives raises, you know, every year, every 2 years or so. And then by the classification, then that's where they...
Now, up until the time you became the lead woman, had you been gone through various reclassifications? Or were you still...
Yeah, I had gone various classifications because they had stuck me in the paint shop, you see. And they had changed me around so that they could hold me in there. But I didn't know about these classifications. Till one day that I was talking to a foreman, he told me, he says, well, we'd have to do some changes to keep you here. Because other people would find out, and they were wondering why I was up there, because I didn't have the classification to be up there. But they wanted me, the company, that's why, if the company wants to, the company wants you, they'd do anything.
Mm-hmm.
They'd do anything for you. And I'd say the company treated me right. I got no beef against the company. They treated me all right.
How did you feel as you started thinking about your retirement? At what point did you decide you were going to retire?
Well, I always said that I was going to retire when I'd be 62.
Mm-hmm.
Because I said, I don't want to get out of here where I'm not going to be able to do nothing. I said, I want to be able to do things when I get out of here. Not get out of here all crippled up, all old and everything else. No, I said, I'm going to retire when I be 62, and I'll enjoy myself.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't. A lot of people, they'll be there till they kick them out of there, and then they get out, and the year or two, they die.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, before we start talking about since you've retired, there were two things that occurred to me. One, whatever gave you the idea of taking the blueprint class initially?
Well, I figured that you see, if you knew blueprint, it would help in your job sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured sooner or later I might need this. And there was Frank Wiggins,
mm-hmm.
blueprint school. And this lady friend of mine, she lived around where I lived there in Pasadena, and she was a black lady. She was going, and she told me, she says, "What about you? Want to go?" I said, "Yeah, let's go." So we used to ride together, and we used to go to school, and then get out of school and go to work. You see, we were working nights, so we go in the morning, and we go get out of there about 1 o'clock or 1:30 from school. We go have lunch and then we go to work.
So but this is while Julio was still alive that you were actually, you started at the blueprint school.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah, I started that right after I began working.
Oh. Now did you ever try and talk to someone about the fact that you'd go on and that maybe you should get reclassified?
No. No, I just took it and it stayed. It just the company knew that I was going into blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
So it went into my record.
I see.
So when this time came that they were going to put me on this other job, in the 104 line that they were making, they were making the 104 and the T2V. They were making a Navy
mm-hmm.
airplane. So actually they put me on the T2V, but they were doing both.
Mm-hmm.
So then the T2V didn't last very long, so then they put me on the 104.
Now, the other thing that I meant to ask you was when you and Frank divorced,
mm-hmm.
You then kept the house and stayed in the house.
Yeah. I gave him $1,000 and because he said he needed something to go into to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, you know, $1,000, well, you would get something for $1,000. Now you can't.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave him $1,000 and he gave me a quick deed.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then when you married Clifton, he moved into the house. You stayed in the house.
Mm-hmm. We bought another house, Clifton and I. And when him and I divorced, he went to the house. And I gave him a quick deed for that other house.
I see. And what happened to this house when you were married to him? Did you rent it?
No, we stayed here.
Oh, but you were just using the other as a rental.
Mm-hmm. Well, he bought it when he was getting ready to leave. Mm-hmm. Funny, but.
Oh, I see. Now, what after you divorced him, did you start dating other men?
No, not really.
Because you mentioned that you didn't really like, I mean, that you really do not like being alone.
No.
That you never.
No. No, I got my friend here living with me, Mayo. He's another Lockheed worker,
uh-huh.
And he's divorced and so.
And when did he start living with you?
About 6 years ago or so.
Oh, so there was just a little stretch then that you were alone, or were you alone at all?
Just a little stretch, that's all.
Uh-huh. And how did that seem to you? Because that was, again, not something you were too used to.
No, I don't like it. I don't like it. That's why I got Mayo here, because I don't like to be alone. I'm not crazy about Mayo. I like him, you know. Like I say, the only person that I ever felt in love that was really hurt me was Frank Jones.
Mm-hmm.
But with Mayo, he's company. We go out places. We go fishing, and we go sometimes to parties and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But,
Now, since once Julio died, it seems that most of your life revolved around other Lockheed workers, though.
Yeah, well, that's all I had, you know, that's all I had up there.
And how about in terms of your own family, how much time would you spend with them?
You mean my kids?
And your sister. And
Well, my sister, she passed away, so I'm alone now. I don't have anybody. I had a brother. He died, too.
Oh.
So I don't have anybody. The only close family I have is my two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, I have the daughter-in-laws. One of them is pretty close. She comes every now and then, and I go see her every now and then, the mother of these kids of my son.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, I don't see her very often.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see my grandkids very often either. And my daughter, every now and then, every chance that I have, I go up to Monterey
mm-hmm.
and see her.
Mm-hmm.
I was up there for Thanksgiving and for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. And how about before you, it seems like it's easier since you retired. How about before you retired?
Well, before I retired, it was a little bit harder because I didn't have the time. You see, I was working.
Mm-hmm.
You just have holidays.
Yeah.
And this, now, what I do is I fly over there, and I take my little dog with me. She flies in that. Yeah. So, because I can't leave her. So I go up there, and I spend
mm-hmm.
a week or so, 2 weeks, and then
mm-hmm.
I come back. This Christmas, we drove. I can drive up there. I've driven. But my daughter gets all out of shape. She says, oh, Mother, I don't want you coming up here by yourself. It's something might happen on the road, or you never know. And I said, oh, my gosh. I said, okay. So just to, you know, to keep her in. But sometimes when my other daughter has had that time, we have driven up there. But she's working now steady, and she works in a nursery. And she only has maybe 1 or 2 days off. She works.